Okay, I've been looking at this virus. This is a relatively new virus. It's a TOSPO virus, so it's spread only by thrips. And the only known vector so far is iris yellow spot virus is the onion thrips, Thrips tabaci. The thrips pick up the virus as first instars, which means they need to actually develop on an infected plant to become infected. Once they're infected, it's persistent. So they can spread the infection as second instars or adults, but if you take an adult that's not infected and you let it feed on an infected plant, it's not going to become infected. They actually have to develop on an infected plant. So far, the virus has been detected in about 47 plant species, including 20 weeds. Oops, let's go this way. It was first detected in the US in 1989 in Idaho, and then it spread pretty quickly through the western states. Like I said, it was only detected recently in New York in 2006. And so for the past couple years, we've been trying to get a handle on whether this virus is going to be an issue for growers, onion growers in New York State. The first question we looked at was trying to identify whether there was a different risk level for prevalence of the virus in two different kinds of fields. Most of the onions in New York are grown from seed, 85% of the acreage is from seed, and the virus is not transmitted by seed, so we know that that acreage is starting off clean. 15% is grown by transplants, and we had some reason to suspect that transplant fields might be more at risk because the transplants are all imported from Arizona, and the virus is pretty well established in the western states. So there's concern that the transplants were coming into New York already infected with the virus. There was also some reason to suspect transplants might be more at risk because of the colonization behavior of thrips. Early in the season, if you assume that the virus is already established in New York, thrips feeding on infected plants that are overwintering on those plants and then colonizing fields early in the spring, the transplanted fields are usually farther along in phenology than the direct seeded fields, so the transplanted fields have a lot more green material. And we looked at the distribution of early season thrips, and there are significantly more thrips in transplanted fields than direct seeded fields. This is a mean number per site, both in 2007 and 2008. So we know that there are significantly more thrips early in the season on those transplanted fields. But there was a balance to this because they might be less at risk because they're planted earlier or they are more advanced in phenology. They also get harvested earlier. So there was a possible that these transplanted fields that are getting harvested actually miss a lot of the thrips movement later in the season, and if virus levels don't become high until late in the season, then maybe they escape levels of virus that are high enough to cause any kind of a yield loss. So we had three objectives. One was, are we detecting the virus earlier in transplanted versus direct seeded fields? Does the virus reach the same levels of prevalence by the end of the season in the two field types? And is the virus spreading at the same rate in those two field types? So there are five regions in New York where onions are grown, and all the work was done in Orleans County. This is a muck soil. Onions are grown in a unique kind of soil called mucks. These are drained lake beds that have high organic matter. So we worked in both the Elba muck and the Linwood muck. And in 2007, we had these pairs of fields. One was a direct seeded, one was a transplanted field. These are the four varieties we worked with. We tried to pick pairs that were in close proximity, and we also tried to pick pairs that were managed by the same grower to try and minimize differences in grower practices. So we had four pairs in Elba and two pairs in Linwood in 2007. In 2008, we had all six pairs in the Elba muck. And the sampling strategy was to take each field and divide it into 60 sampling points. And at each of those points, we went out and sampled every other week in 2007. And at each point, we would pull one plant, count up the total number of adult and larval thrips on that plant, and then pick four other plants in the immediate vicinity and use a bulk sample of five plants to actually test for the virus. In 2008, we did the same thing, except for the last half of the season, we started sampling weekly. So again, we took a plant, counted the total number of larval and adult thrips, and did a bulk sample, and we tested those bulk plant samples using ELISA, and we only used plant material from the middle portion of the plant to test those samples. So the first question, did we detect the virus earlier in transplanted fields versus direct seeded fields? I'm going to show a number of graphs that look like this. These are the varieties in 2007, the varieties in 2008, and this is the first sampling date. And what you can see is that on that very first date in 2008, we detected it in transplanted fields and direct seeded fields. In 2007, we didn't detect anything at that early point in the season. On the next sampling date, again, pretty low levels, but it's in both transplanted and direct seeded, nothing in 2007. By the third sampling date, maybe there's a little bit more in transplanted, still nothing in 2007. By the end of July, we start picking it up in 2007, and it's about evenly distributed in 2008. So based on 2 years of data, we don't think it's consistently being found earlier in one of the field types versus the other, even though we know that there are more thrips in the transplanted fields early in the season. But we did see that the virus appeared sooner in 2008 compared with 2007, and that it persisted at pretty low levels for those first 2 months in 2008. And in 2007, it was at low levels. We weren't able to detect it. So the second objective was, is the virus reaching the same level of prevalence by the end of the season? So this is the last sampling date in 2007. You can see that it's higher in the transplanted fields for four of the fields, higher in the direct seeded fields, but it's pretty low levels. These are the percent of sites testing positive for the virus. In 2008, the first thing you notice is there's a lot more virus. But again, there doesn't seem to be any obvious pattern where there being more frequency of virus in the direct seeded versus transplanted fields. And this is probably easier to see in this kind of a graph. So what you see here is the difference in the percent of sites testing positive. So for the Highlander pair of fields in 2007, there were more sites testing positive in transplanted versus direct seeded. For here, for Milestone, there were more plants testing positive in direct seeded versus transplant, and this bar represents the difference. So there are a couple things to note. The first is that there are six pairs on this side of the bar. There are six pairs on this side of the bar, so there's no obvious pattern here. And that when it's higher in the direct seeded, it's a lot higher. The second thing to note is there seem to be some varietal issues going on. So for Sedona, in both years, it was higher in the seeded plants versus the transplanted fields. For Red Bull, it was higher in all three fields, in the transplanted fields. And for Milestone, it's a little mixed. Though we found that there were, on average, the number of sites testing positive was higher in the direct seeded fields, it was not significantly different. So does the virus reach the same prevalence levels? At this point, based on 2 years of data, yes. There's a slight trend for it to be a little higher in the direct seeded fields, but that isn't significantly separating. So does the virus spread at the same rate in the two field types? This is all the data for 2007. As you can see, there's almost no virus early in the season, and then it starts picking up later in the season. These are the varieties and whether it's direct seeded or transplanted. And the original goal here was to be able to draw curves to compare the rate of spread in the direct seeded versus the transplanted fields. And for those of you who draw curves, two sample points is really not enough to draw a curve. So we got a little luckier in 2008, which is why we started sampling weekly instead of biweekly in 2008. This is the data for 2008. So you can see, again, very low levels persistently for the first 2 months, but we have enough data points here that we can start to draw curves. So for a preliminary first take at this to compare the rate of spread in direct seeded versus transplanted, I fit them to exponential curves. So this is the Red Bull direct seeded field. This is the exponent, which I'm going to refer to as a growth rate. And here is the fit for an exponential curve. If I do that for all of the dates or all the field types where I have at least three data points to fit, this is what I come out with. In general, the R-squared is a reasonably good fit, but I'll warn you that some of these curves are fit on only three data points. So this is not a real strong, robust way to fit a curve. But it was the best that we had to go on. And the question is, this is the exponent in the growth curve. Is this growth rate higher for the direct seeded versus the transplanted fields? In general, the mean's a little higher. But again, we found no significant difference. So even if you control for variety and field type in the date of harvest, there's no significant difference between the growth rate in the two field types. So is the virus spreading at the same rate? At this point, from our data set, 1 year of data, it appears that it is spreading at the same rate in the two field types. So for conclusions, right now, we don't find a difference in risk between transplant and direct seeded fields, though there was some sense that the transplanted fields might have a higher final season mean prevalence and that there were more thrips in the transplants. It sort of is evening out. So right now, we don't think there's a difference in the risk between the two field types. And where there is a difference, the difference seems to depend on variety, and we didn't have enough replicates for each variety to really tease this out. So it may be that in the next field season, we pick one or two varieties, and we really try and look at how the difference is affected by variety, or even just looking at varieties themselves. And at the end of the season, that's when we get the growth. So it's persisting. If it's there early in the season, it's at pretty low levels. And at the end of the season, that's where it's really taking off. And so that, for us, begs the question that, is it the movement of adults later in the season that's more responsible for the increases in prevalence, as opposed to the early season adult movement when thrips are migrating from overwintering hosts. And that has a lot to do with how the virus is persisting in the region. If it's persisting in the weeds and those early season migrants are coming in and colonizing early in the season, then we would have expected something to happen early in the season for those fields getting infested earlier with the virus. If it's the adult movement later in the season, what's happening late in the season is that fields are getting harvested, and so you have these large movements of adults relocating to new field types, and those adults are more likely to be infected. So you have this concentration of a greater population of infected adults settling in on the last fields that are standing, and we think that that might be why we're getting these slightly higher levels of prevalence in the direct seeded fields and why it's this end of the season phenomenon. So the other conclusion we found is in 2007, we didn't have any IYSB that we could detect early in the season, and then it stayed pretty low even by harvest. In 2008, we had these really low persistent levels for 2 months, and then it took off. And for us, the question is, does that mean that if you find it early in the season, does that predict a high level later in the season? Or is it just that New York is on the cusp of an increase in Iris yellow spot virus regionally? And with that, I'd like to thank some great crew people, and I'm happy to take any questions. Yes.
I was wondering, you mentioned overwintering hosts, other hosts. Can you tell me what those hosts would be for this particular thrips, and what management strategies might that infer for the growers in New York?
Okay, so the question is, what other kinds of hosts might the thrips survive on overwintering, and what kind of management strategies might be available for managing those alternate hosts? I'm going to defer a lot of that, but one of the hosts we're looking at are weed populations, and Eric is going to give a talk tomorrow in the student competitions, Eric Smith, specifically about the weeds. And we know that these weed species, not only can thrips develop on these weed species, but some of those also test positive for virus. So we do think that weeds might be playing a role. The other possible way that the virus is being maintained is that the onions that are left in the field into the second year, those volunteer onions, some of those do test positive. And onions that are in cull piles, so packing houses that cull out onions and throw them into these large piles to disintegrate, some of those cull piles also test positive. But those are much smaller locations on the landscape than the weeds. So right now we're thinking that weeds are where it's persisting. Any other questions?